Good morning. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I hope you like 1 Peter. We're going to be here for a while.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. We're going to be reading from verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your souls. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for another opportunity to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us are worthy, but thou art worthy, O Lord. We want to give you glory and praise. If anyone is not saved, may they come to know you as their Savior. May the saints of God be encouraged and exhorted to continue in the faith and hold fast to the end. Have mercy upon us. Bless our missionaries, as some of them will be traveling this month. Bless the campaign in Poland going on right now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So before I begin this morning, I thought I'd give you a little tidbit. Some of us all have, at least I have, I guess, and I assume that if I have the difficulty, you probably do too, trying to distinguish the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I thought I'd throw out this little tidbit. I heard it the other day. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is classified as fruit. That's knowledge. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. There you go. There you go.
That's good.
All right. So, the Lord is good. So we left off finishing up verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Our life is but a season.
Yeah.
It's just a moment. It's like the flower that blossoms one day and then is wilted the next day. It's like the grass that grows and then it dies. It's a twinkling of an eye. And so any temptations or difficulties we have this confidence, it's but for a moment. In God's timetable. It's but for a moment. Even if it lasts for 93 years, 95 years, in God's timetable, that's but for a moment. And when you get the perspective of eternity, it's nothing. It's like a drop in a bucket. It's like a drop of rain on the ocean. It's nothing to be compared. But I would like to look at that idea of here, even though you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, I'd like to talk to you about some temptations and how it is applied in the scriptures. Remember, we are reading the English language, and when you have language, we are not required to use a word in the same way in every sentence. In other words, a word can have one meaning in one context and have another meaning in another context. And then more so when we read our Bible, which happens to be translated firstly back in 1611, some of the words have grown old and archaic and obsolete. We don't use those definitions. So when we read our Bible, we need to make sure that we're correctly interpreting the meaning of these words. And it's always good to use a dictionary. 9 times out of 10, maybe my percentage aren't exactly correct. I haven't done a complete analysis of this. But 9 times out of 10, when you find a word in your Bible you think you're not quite understanding, it's probably listed in your modern dictionary under obsolete or archaic. And that would probably be the definition there. And we're going to see that this morning. So what does it mean to be under manifold temptations? Is it talking about being seduced by the tempter? Is he saying that we're under, you know, constant temptations of sin, being allured or enticed to do something wrong or immoral? Is that what he's talking about? As I mentioned, if you'll look up the word tempt or temptation in a modern dictionary, you're going to find an obsolete definition, which means try, test, or prove. And that's generally the meaning in scriptures. Not always, but context will help us most of the time in figuring it out. So I want to look at some of those meanings, because in our temptations, we do get heavy. We do get burdened.
Amen.
And Peter's telling us that even though ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, he wants you to remember something. One that he pointed out already, that we have an inheritance in heaven. We know the end result. And knowing the end result can help us get through the trial. When we're depressed or in heaviness or we're not sure and we want to give up, but we know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at us, we know it's a light at the end of the tunnel, then that helps us get through it. And thank God that we do have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. Look over in James in chapter 1. Just one book over to the left. James in chapter 1. Notice what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. He didn't say complain about it. He didn't say moan and groan about it. He didn't say, oh no, not again. Not another one. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And patience is a virtue that God delights in. God himself is patient, and he desires that we be patient. But to get to that level of patience, it requires tribulation. It requires things that are not commodious to us. It requires things that are, let's say it, aggravating. I sincerely believe that God allowed man to invent a computer so that man might learn patience. I tell you what, there's nothing more aggravating than a computer. There's nothing more frustrating than a computer that doesn't work when it's supposed to work or when you need it to work. Boy, that will try your patience. My patience is tried 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, fighting with a computer. But did you notice something here? He says, when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this is the trying of your faith. It's like he's defying what the temptation's here. It's a trial. It's a test. Yeah? And these temptations that come in our lives, these tests, these trials that come, God is trying to do something in our lives. He's trying to build in us character. He's trying to build and to put into us virtue. He wants virtue to come out of us, and one of the virtues is patience.
Amen.
And that comes through trials. Now, nobody likes that, right? That's very aggravating.
Amen.
It's very frustrating.
Amen.
But if you get your eyes focused on the scripture and you remember the things of God, then you can start disciplining yourself and you can start taking that cross and dying to self and say, praise the Lord for this tribulation. Praise the Lord for this difficulty. God, you have a purpose. I'm glad you're keeping an eye on me. I'm glad that you're focused on me, that you're trying to do something in me. Whereas we get focused on the actual trial and forget about God and forget about the will of God and the purpose of God, then that tribulation, that temptation will overcome us. So we need to remember that there is a value in these temptations or these trials that we go through. Look down in verse 12. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And again, the context is sort of defining the meaning of temptation. When he endureth temptation, for when he is tried. So we have these trials that come in our life. So the end of month got there faster than the money did. That's a trial. What are you going to do? It's very frustrating. There's somebody that's an accountant and trying to keep up with the bills. It's frustrating. Do you ever get frustrated?
Sure.
Yeah? These are trials. All right, you go out to your car and you turn the key and it click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. That's a trial. You get into your car, you finally get it started, you back up, thump, 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 thump. Yeah? Those are difficulties that come in our lives, and these can be trials in our life, testing our patience. God is working in us through these things. Now those are just little things. We haven't suffered the testing or the trial like Abraham, where our faith is really tested, and that is very important. You remember what it says? Look over in Genesis in 22. Do you remember Abraham had a promise from God? And the blessing was going to come through Isaac, the son of the promise, and not through Ishmael. But one day it says here in Genesis 22, and it came to pass in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Then he goes on to say, I want you to take up your son, and I want you to offer him. That is a test.
That's right.
Not of the emergency broadcast network. That is a test of the Lord. God gave you a promise. Now he says, I promised you, but I want you to take this son and I want you to offer him. Now it's pretty obvious that Abraham passed the test. He goes to the mountain and he takes his son up to the mountain and he tells his servants that he's coming back, that we are going to come back. So he must have believed that no matter what he did, God was somehow going to do a miracle, somehow, some way. He could not explain it himself, but he knew, I'm coming back down this mountain with Isaac.
That's right.
Wow.
Now that is faith.
That's right.
And he passed the test with an A plus.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know if God gives plus pluses, but Abraham really passed the test. It was a test of his faith. Yeah, God wasn't tempting him to sin. He wasn't trying to allure him to sin. He was testing him. He was giving him a trial to see if he was going to pass. And he passed with flying colors.
Amen.
Now, how does this apply to us? How many promises do we have in God's book, the Word of God, the Bible? We got lots of promises, and yet every day we sometimes doubt God. Don't we?
Amen.
Let's start off as a young Christian. Here's a trial of your faith. The promise is over and over again, and they shall never perish. The devil comes to you, and you sin, and you give in the temptation. This is a different type of temptation. You give into the temptation of the tempter, of the devil, and you fall into sin, and he whispers in your ear, God's given up on you.
Yeah.
Now there's a test. Are you going to believe the whispering of the devil, or are you going to believe the voice of God?
Amen.
Now it doesn't seem, I mean, everything in your mind says, well man, if I commit this type of sin, surely I'm not a Christian. Right? That's the battle that goes on. But faith says God has promised something in Christ.
Amen, amen.
And you move on. You trust God.
Amen.
Lots of tests in our life as a matter of faith and trusting God. God said he's going to provide. We pray, God, give us our daily bread. Is he going to provide? We doubt him many a times.
Yes, amen.
Many a times we doubt him. He's given us, what does it say, exceeding great, how does it go? Great and precious promises. He's given us these promises, and sometimes we're tested on those promises. Can you believe God in the midst of affliction? Can you believe God when the testing comes? Well, that's one. That's one use of the word tempt, the word test or prove or trial. Look back in James in chapter 1. We read verse 12, look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Well, in this context, the idea is more of enticing or alluring to do something wrong or immoral or evil. In this case, God doesn't tempt us to do evil. He gives us opportunities to do right. God doesn't tempt us to sin. That's not the point. He says very specifically here that God does not tempt us with evil, and thank God for that. Look over in Matthew in chapter 4. You're going to see how this word is used. In Matthew in chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who's doing the tempting? The devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And then who came? The tempter. The tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So there is that temptation from the devil alluring you, alluring you into doubting God, into following God, and following the precepts of God, alluring you to misinterpret the Scriptures, misapply the Scriptures, and Jesus responds with the Scriptures. Then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and set them on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dost dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now there's a word he's talking about, provoking God. Yeah? We shouldn't be provoking God. We shouldn't we should not be putting God to the test. God is always faithful. He doesn't need to be tested. He's faithful. Again, the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So we see the tempter tries to allure us into or out of the will of God. Let's say it that way. The tempter tries to allure us out of the will of God or try to provoke God. He wants us to provoke God instead of trusting God. Beware. Beware.
Amen.
Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, where we see this word used again. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So to lead you astray, he's trying to allure you out of the right path. He's trying to get you out of the path of light and take you into darkness. That's what the tempter does. He's tempting you. He's alluring you. He's enticing you. He's trying to get you out of the will of God to do something wrong, immoral, or sin, or something that's even unwise. Now, there's another type of testing or temptation. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Probably ought to read all of these verses, but I'll jump down to verse 9. Because of time. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed to the serpents. Now I looked up this word, how this word is used here in the sense of it's proving, but proving or testing in a way that involves risk or peril, provoking. We would more commonly use tempt one's fate. Yeah? You're tempting your fate. And so, he says to us, don't tempt Christ. Don't tempt the Lord. Don't tempt God. We see an example in Numbers 21 verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Why? They were saying that God could not provide. And he had provided so many times before. And they were provoking the Lord to anger. And he got angry and he sent fiery serpents among them. Look over in Psalm 78 and verse 17. And they sinned yet more against him, against the Lord, by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? There's a way to tempt God or provoke God to anger. To accuse God or to make the presumption that God can't do something. Yeah? How many of us are end up tempting God every day? Because of our lack of faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Because we don't believe the promises of God, and we don't remember the blessings and the grace of God up to this point in our life.
Amen.
How many times has God blessed us? How many times has God provided for us?
Wow.
How many times has God come through?
Right.
How many times have we experienced temptation in our life and it didn't look like it was possible, but God came through and we sang the praises of God. And now we find ourselves in the exact same situation or a similar situation and we begin to provoke God. God, are you going to help me or not? Yeah. That's what they did. They began complaining and murmuring against God. Look in Mark chapter 12 and verse 14, another example. And when they were come, they say unto the Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Now they know the truth here, right? But they're up to this point, so far so good. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. So there's another way that people tempt God, trying to trap him. Can God build a rock so big that he cannot lift it? You ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Trying to trap God. If God is good, why is there evil in the world?
Right.
Trying to trap God. Be careful about tempting God.
Amen.
Be careful about provoking God.
Amen.
Psalm 95 and verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Seeing the work of God over and over again and then complaining about not having God's provision is a way to provoke God or tempt God. And he says, don't ye tempt Christ and don't tempt the Lord. Now let's go back to our text. He says, manifold temptations. We are tempted. There are trials in our life. God is interested, if we read this context here, heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold, or than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is interested in purified faith. God is interested in a type of faith that passes the test.
Amen.
God is interested in a type of faith that can endure the trials. Anybody can trust God with a bank account that never ends. It really takes faith to trust God when there's nothing in the bank account. What then? When you've reached the end of the month and there's zero in the bank account and you got to pay bills. That's the test, yeah? It really comes a test. Can you trust God when a loved one is laying in a hospital? There's a test.
Amen.
Can you trust God when all of a sudden the job's not going as you expected?
Amen.
Can you trust God when just things are not working out as you had expected? Yeah? The trial. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. It's amazing that these saints in Corinthian, these brothers were able to give even though they themselves were afflicted with poverty. And I've experienced that. I've noticed that people that don't have a lot of wealth are very generous in their giving. Jesus actually pointed it out. He stood over in the treasury and he pointed out this widow lady that came in and just cast two mites. Now the accountant could be over there and he would say, all these rich men gave much more than this widow lady. But in Jesus' perspective, he said the widow lady, she gave more than they all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
Can you still give when you don't have? That's a test of faith, isn't it? Can you still come to church when you really don't want to? When everything is against you, can you still read the Bible when you're just weary and heavy? There's a lot of things that come in our lives that we suffer afflictions and our faith is tested. How are you going to pass the test? Are you going to pass the test? There's a verse of scriptures that talks about remembering Job. Do you remember Job? The afflictions that he suffered. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost, in a sense, he had a division with his wife. Terrible. He lost his health. Terrible afflictions. And you know what it says? He says, comes down to the end, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be in the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Wow.
What a testimony. What a testimony. I'm of the persuasion that when God gives, hallelujah. But then when God takes away, there ought to be the same hallelujah. Because God didn't change.
Amen.
Only our circumstances change. And that is the difficulty. When our circumstances change to the negative, things are not going our way, that is a test of our faith. Can we still praise God? Can we still say hallelujah? Can we still say God gave and God took away, blessed be the name of the Lord? That's a test. How are you doing on that test? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11. More examples here. Verse 36. And others, we should read the whole chapter, but we're jumping down for time's sake. Verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God having provided some better thing of us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What happens when you give your all to serve God and then you suffer nothing but affliction? What happens when you sell out for God, you take a great leap of faith, if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Him, and then you lose your job, you lose your wealth, your cars break down, the computer doesn't work, you have more bills than you can pay, what are you going to do then? Well, we have a great example in Job. He praised God anyway.
Amen.
We have examples when Paul and Silas suffered unrighteous persecution. You know, it's one thing you get a ticket for speeding when you're guilty. What happens when you get a ticket and you're not guilty?
Right.
Yeah.
We have it at my job, just to give you an example. They have what they call, colloquially we call dings. Now, a ding is where everything we do when we have contact with a customer is recorded. And we're required by law to let you know when you call in. This call may be recorded, monitored, and or recorded. So beware. Uncle Sam is listening. Mr. Wells is listening to you when you call in. And so they listen to our calls and then they review them. And they find out if we made any mistakes. Everything is recorded. Every word. every sniffle, every cough. Everything is recorded. They hear everything. And then they let you know, did you pass or did you fail? If you fail, they say you got a ding. Yeah? Those dings can be serious dings, enough to get you fired. Yeah? Because you put the company at risk. So they're always recording. When you get a ding in your life, how do you respond? How do you respond? What is your reaction? When you get a ticket unjustly, what is your reaction?
Right.
Sometimes the monitors will ding you incorrectly. They themselves were not following the policy. What is your reaction? Well, my colleagues, their reaction is, I've been unjustly treated. This is wrong. And I asked them, I said, well, how many times did they miss the dings? How many times did they miss the mistakes? It's like when you get a ticket, maybe you weren't speeding that day, but how many times were you speeding and you didn't get caught?
Yeah, amen.
And so they don't understand me when they come, they tell me, Brent, you didn't deserve that ding. I say, yeah, but they didn't catch the other 1,000 dings that I made, you know? So I'm just going to go on. How do you react to adversity?
Right.
How do you react when the wife doesn't treat you right? Okay, how do you react when the husband doesn't treat you right? How do you react when your child is not responding in the way that you would like? These are all tests and trials that we come across. Do we respond the way that God would like us to react? Do we have patience? Do we have forbearance? Are we willing to endure the trials of affliction, which are just for a moment? Do we have our eyes focused on the Lord, that it's well worth it? How do we react is very important. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, I mentioned this last week, really, brethren. What are our afflictions?
Right.
None of us are in jail.
Amen.
Nobody's getting beaten.
Amen.
Nobody's getting stoned. Nobody's, you know, losing their jobs.
Amen.
Nobody's really being persecuted in the sense where they come and take all your property,
right,
take all your belongings. What is it that we as Americans, Christians, what is it that we've really suffered?
Right. Amen.
Somebody says, oh, you're one of those Christians. And the end of our life, I mean, that's just the end of the, I mean, it's all over. I'm a Christian. Really, brethren, what is it that we suffer?
Right. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hey, so it didn't go your way. So you were treated unjustly. Was Christ treated unjustly? Were the apostles treated unjustly? What was Christ's reaction when they hung him on a tree? Was he complaining? Was he murmuring? Did he call out to God in complaint? Why am I suffering? This is unfair. This is unjust. But look at your life. Look at my life. How many times do we complain about these very things?
Right. Amen. True.
Peter says, don't complain. Rejoice. Rejoice that you are counted worthy. Because in reality, God is there active in your life, putting you to a test.
Amen.
Tempting you, trying you to see what kind of faith you have. What kind of faith do you have? Looking over in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Because thou, he's talking about this church at Philadelphia. He's giving them some words of wisdom here. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, I don't want to get too deep in this verse, but I'm just going to throw out a hint to Brother Bill. This may be talking about the rapture, may be talking about the ideas that we as believers are not going to go through that great tribulation. But anyway, that's just a thought. But the idea is the Lord does deliver us from these hours of temptation. We don't think we're going to make it. We can't quite see, is that really a light at the end of the tunnel? And sometimes we just want to give up. But he says, don't give up. Hang on. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Now 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God can give us the strength to bear it, to endure it. And we should have that type of faith to endure.
Amen.
Then he says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Did you know that's a superlative? It's a comparative. What kind of faith do you want? Do you remember when the Lord dealt with the apostles? And he said, how many times did he say this? O ye of little faith. Is that what you want to be remembered by?
No.
Then poor apostle, it's written in an eternal book. O ye of little faith. Yeah. How do you want to be remembered? When I stand before the Lord, I want to hear him say, oh, great faith. Yeah. I don't want him to say, oh, ye of little faith. And I'm afraid I'm going to stand before there and look back at my life and think, why did I doubt him there and there and there and there? Why did I ever doubt the Lord? Why did I cry out, Lord, do you not care that we perish? Why did I get frustrated? Why did I get angry with my wife, with my coworkers, with you? Why did I allow these things to control me instead of walking in the Spirit of God? The trial of our faith. God is interested in purified faith, tested faith. Faith that has been purified. And yet we don't want to go through that.
Amen.
The very objective that we want that refined faith. We want that precious faith, but we don't want to go through the things that get us there. We want a clean car, but we don't want to clean the car. Right? We want a good job, but we don't want to do the things necessary to have a good job. Right? We want to have a good relationship, but we don't want to be involved and do the things necessary to have a good relationship. We want our children to behave, but we don't want to do the things that are necessary so that they will behave. Yeah? And the Bible does give us some lessons on how to train our children so that they will behave.
Yes, ma'am.
Start by teaching them what the word no means, but that's neither here nor there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. The trial of fire. Will it pass the fire test? That's the question. When you invest all of your life in that home, ask yourself a question. Will it pass the fire test? When fire starts consuming, will you have anything left? If it's gold, it's going to get better. If it's silver, it's going to get better. Precious stone is going to get better. But if it's wood, hay, and stubble, you're not going to have anything left. And it's an amazing thing that the Lord not only saves us, not only delivers us by His grace and mercy, He forgives us completely, but then He offers us reward for doing the right thing. Isn't that amazing? Look what He says here, back in 1 Peter. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Lord is going to say, is going to honor your faith if you pass the test?
Right. Amen.
Glory. How does he say it again? Honor. Let me see how it goes. Praise, honor, and glory. Have you ever been to an award ceremony? They got a big crowd and they say, John Smith, come forward. And John Smith comes forward. We would like to award you this or whatever he accomplished. They give him an award. Can you imagine in that day, God says, Brother Joe, come here. I want everybody to know about your faith and how you passed the test. Abraham, come here. I want everybody to know you're going to be honored. You're going to be glorified. You're going to receive praise of God himself. Here's a man of great faith. You see it already in the scriptures where Jesus Christ himself praised certain ones. He said of one, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. What an honor as the Lord says, that was faith. That's why we endure right now. That's why we get through the trials and afflictions that we suffer, because we know there's great reward at the end. Jesus said this, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Wow. Not only does he save us, but he's willing to honor us if we pass the trial of our faith.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. And brethren, this is why we gather to encourage you. Don't give up in the trials of affliction.
Amen.
Remember to praise the Lord. Remember to thank God, because he's going to honor you. He's going to glorify you. He's going to praise you, or I should say that faith, I guess is the better way to say it, not necessarily you, but the faith that you have, he's going to praise, honor, and glorify.
Yeah.
Wow, that is simply amazing. And let's close out with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll pick up this next week. Verse 17, he says, for our light affliction.
Yeah, right.
Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I would hope that all of us have the goal, as Peter did, to seek after eternal things. And I would hope that we would realize, as Peter did, that whatever our affliction, whatever our tribulation, it is a light affliction in comparison to the eternity that's coming. Whatever our affliction or trial or tribulation, however long it endures, God says is just a moment. Because when we compare whatever time period in our life with eternity, as I mentioned earlier, it's just a drop in the ocean. It's just a piece of mist coming off the hose that you can't even count. It's like a speck of sand on a vast beach. It doesn't even count. It doesn't even compare. And brethren, that takes a little bit of faith from the Word of God. We have these promises. Let's remember them and put them in action. Amen. Let's take a 5-minute break and then we'll have the preaching hour.